Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
And welcome here to Union Congregational Church, United Church of Christ, on this, the second Sunday after Easter, second Sunday of Easter season. I am Reverend Jeffrey Dodson. I'm a hospice chaplain, and I work out of Ripon and kind of the central Wisconsin area. It is a joy to be with you this morning, to lead you in worship, and to give you a good word today. I want to send you greetings from Pastor Jacob, who is on vacation this Sunday. Jacob and I are colleagues in ministry together, and I was just telling some of the folks during coffee hour that I was a camp counselor and Jacob was one of my campers probably about 10 plus years ago. So it is just wonderful to see him become a minister and to become colleagues with him in this beautiful work. A couple of announcements that we have this morning. First of all, thank you for those who were here to do a little spring cleanup for the church yesterday, and I'm hoping that the church looks a little shinier and tidied up. You might have noticed some of the recent lawn clippings outside and maybe other things that look sparkly this morning. So thank you to those who helped out with that. There are two signups that I want to draw your attention to just outside the sanctuary. First is for rides for Jacob, Pastor Jacob, on Sundays. If you are able to get him to church and back home again on Sundays, we'd love for you to sign up for that and provide transportation. And then there's a May liturgist signup as well. So if you've got a free Sunday and you want to be up here and lead us in some prayers, there's a sign-up sheet for that. So take a look, see where you can help out, and thank you for those who have already signed up. Any other announcements this morning that I might be missing?
If you ordered an Easter lily, you can take it home this week, or after the worship tonight,
or today.
Thank you.
I thought I also mentioned, I came here, had plans to come here Friday, to change all the banners back to our regular green pyramid era after church, and I realized we're doing a series on
Resurrection. Yeah.
And why not, and then I also was given the liturgy series, or the for today, and saw that there's Alleluia, so I left our pretty Christmas, or Easter, Easter banners up, so enjoy during this period that we will have. We will continue to talk about the resurrection, and the chapel will reflect that.
In the second week of Easter, we continue to walk through this Easter season, a season of resurrections, in which we are constantly having our attention drawn towards the ways in which God is rising up in our lives, raising us to new life, new experiences. And may we pay attention to those things. I offer you a moment this morning to draw in a deep breath and release it. As we prepare ourselves for the worship of God in body, mind, and spirit, Christ comes to us sharing a peace that is beyond all our understanding. May that peace of Christ be with you this morning. Let us share the peace of Christ with one another today.
Thank you.
We may be surprised, and we may be imprisoned by many things in our lives. Jesus' declaration that he had come to set the prisoners free can be interpreted for all of us, whether or not we've ever experienced being behind literal prison bars. And this day, we will hear resurrection stories that move us from chains to freedom. And we will reflect on how we can each step into freedom from whatever binds us. They were on the road to Emmaus.
We travel so many roads, so many journeys in this life, sometimes traveling towards, sometimes away from a life of freedom.
Jesus came and fell into step with them, but they did not recognize him. Jesus asked them, what were they talking about?
We have recited our stories of pain so often that we can't imagine there are other ways to interpret events to get past the regret.
And they explained the horror of the recent past about their friend who was crucified and their disappointment of dreams of liberation dashed. Then Jesus began to tell the story as a bigger picture.
We sometimes perceive only the parts that feel insurmountable without zooming out to notice the larger narrative of hope.
And they invited Jesus to dinner after such a long walk. Jesus took the bread, blessed, broke, and gave it to them.
We are capable of having our eyes open to the presence of love in our midst.
Jesus vanished from the room as quickly as he had appeared on the road, but they were left with awe and wonder of having their hearts transformed. We open to the possibility that nothing is closed, and our hearts can be opened anytime, anywhere, and resurrection from death-dealing forces is possible. This is a word of hope for the people who long for it. Thanks be to the living word.
In the midst
of our overwhelm and fear, tender God, we do not expect to meet you. Yet you are here among us, holding out your hands to us, breathing spirit over us, showing us again and again that nothing can separate us from you. Surround us with your peace in this moment, Jesus. Let our fears rest in you. Amen.
Thank you.
At this time, I'd like to invite the children forward for this morning's children's moment. And of course, anyone with the heart of a child is also welcome to join us up here on the steps. Hello, hello, little ones. Welcome. Come on up here. All right. I am Reverend Jeffrey Dotson, but you can call me Jeffrey. How's that? Makes it easy? Okay. Good. Got that off our list here. Now, I've got a question for you. Do you believe in air? Yeah? Do you believe in air? Do you know what air is? Okay. So mom and dad said you can have a popsicle. Great, yes. I'm going to endorse that. So so can you tell me why you believe in air? Why do you believe in air?
Well, trees hold air and we take in air and
release it. Okay. So my curiosity, though, is that we believe in air, but I don't see any air. Can you feel the air? Can you feel it? Can you smell the air? Does air have a particular smell to it, as opposed to maybe your sibling who's sitting next to you? Maybe not. Can you hear air? Can you taste air? What does air taste like? Yeah, air is just, it's hard to sense with our hearing, taste, smell, touch. Yeah, we know it's there because it gives us life. So sometimes we are asked to believe in something that we can't see or grasp or touch, and yet it is there, and we know that it's real. This morning in your class, you're going to hear a story about believing without seeing. It's a story about a disciple called Thomas. And after Jesus had been resurrected, you remember Easter story from last Sunday? That Jesus had died, and then the stone was rolled away from the tomb, and when they got to the tomb, there was no Jesus in the tomb. He had risen from the dead. And so they hadn't seen Jesus, but they knew from the women who were told by an angel that Jesus was resurrected. So the disciples, those 12 disciples, they were pretty afraid, and they locked themselves in a room because they didn't know what was going on, and they were there afraid. And all of a sudden, all the disciples, I should say, except for one disciple, Thomas, he was off doing something else. But as the disciples, the other 11, were in that room, Jesus suddenly appeared. And the disciples believed. They saw Jesus and they believed that he had come back to life. And he was there with them. And then Jesus left. And the disciples found Thomas. And they said, Thomas, you won't believe what just happened. We saw Jesus. He's alive. And you know what Thomas said? What do you think Thomas might have said? Probably wasn't true. Did he see Jesus?
No.
He probably said something like, I'll believe it when I see it, right? Yeah? You have a loose tooth and it hurts. Well, I believe that. Oh, yeah. Well, I hope you'll get better soon. Yeah. Oh. You know, it's interesting you mentioned that, because Jesus also had an owie too. When he got, when he had died, he got a little owie on his side. And so what happened was, Thomas didn't believe that Jesus had come back to life. And then Jesus appeared in front of Thomas. And Thomas said, "I won't believe it's you, Lord, unless I can touch you. If I can feel that owie that you had is real, then I'll know that it's really you standing here before me." And Jesus said, "Go ahead, touch my owie, touch my wound, and you will know." And so Thomas touched Jesus and believed. And then Jesus told the disciples, "Blessed are those who believe but do not see." So, have you ever, raise your hand if you've ever seen Jesus? Okay, maybe in a picture or something like that? Yeah? Yeah?
I have an owie on my tooth.
You have an owie on your tooth. Oh my gosh, yeah. Well, I don't think any of us have seen Jesus physically in front of us. And just like Thomas, it's hard to believe in something that we haven't seen and we haven't touched. But Jesus says that it's okay, that we are blessed because we can have faith without seeing or believing. Yeah. We can breathe in air even though we can't see it, we can't taste it, we can't feel it around us. But we know it's there and we know it's keeping us alive, just like God's love. So let's pray today, all right? You want to repeat after me? Dear God, thank you for air. Thank you for believing, even when we can't see. Free us in love to believe. Amen. All right. I think we're going to have you go with our teacher this morning, right at the back of the sanctuary. Thank you so much for being so good this morning.
Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved,
you and your household. They spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. At the same hour of the night, he took them and washed their wounds. Then he and his entire family were baptized without delay. He brought them up into the house and set food before them, and he and his entire household rejoiced that he had become a believer in God. Here ends the reading for today. May God bless us as we learn from these holy words. Amen.
I am in love with this world. I sat on my porch steps this last week watching my kids play in the warming air of late spring. "Dad, Dad, look what I can do!" my eldest daughter called out to me, flying past on her scooter, wheels clattering on the concrete in front of our garage. Ellie, my youngest, sat wrapped in a blanket in my arms, rocking back and forth with me as she repeated her sister's cry, "Look at Ainsley go!" She laughed and cheered, clapping her tiny hands. And over on the sidewalk, Frankie scribbled spirals and stars and dreams in bright chalk, art that had no particular form, but carried every bit of wonder and intention that life itself does. And I thought, I am so in love with this world. Yes, this world, with all its bruises and burdens, with the ache of headlines and hospital rooms, with grief and injustice still too present, I am still in love with it. Because in these fleeting sidewalk sketches and scooter races, I see what God sees, a world worth redeeming. In my work as a hospice chaplain, I am seeped in the work of grief each and every single day, the burdens of watching people as they enter into a time of end of life, and sitting with families who are remembering and who are experiencing sorrow and loss. Grief is something that I think we have all experienced in our own way. And yet, what I believe is that despite the grief that we carry and despite what we may lose in this life, this is a world that is full of life. It is full of love, and it is a world worth redeeming. This is the meaning of resurrection. To be alive and to feel that love in your bones, even after the storms, the wounds, the long nights of silence and suffering, this is resurrection. Not in a grand, distant way, but right here. In my own backyard, in my body, in this life. Because resurrection isn't only about what happened at a tomb 2,000 years ago. Resurrection is what happens when love refuses to give up. That's what the superhero Vision said to Wanda in a moment of beautiful cinematic wisdom in the TV show WandaVision from 2021. And perhaps one of the greatest lines I think that has been written for the screen. Wanda and Vision begin losing people in this augmented reality they're trapped in. They're prisoners in this life that they're having to live out and pretend in. And they suddenly realize that they need to be freed. And as they travel through each episode, they begin losing people that they've grown attached to, people that they love. They start disappearing. And Wanda looks at Vision and says, "Why aren't you fighting for this? Why aren't you happy for what we're?" We're trying to accomplish here. You're so seeped in sadness and grief. And Vision says something profound, that he hasn't lost a lot of people in his life. He doesn't consider it a loss because he hasn't been able to love many people in his life. And so he looks at Wanda and says, "What is grief if not love? persevering. And that line, that truth, has just stuck with me. Grief is not a weakness. Grief is not surrender. Grief is what happens when love insists on still being there, even when everything else has been taken away. Grief is what led Mary Magdalene and the other women to the tomb that first Easter morning. They were afraid and they were heartbroken, but they showed up. Love led them. Love always leads us toward the places of deepest pain, because love believes something might still grow there. And we see that same kind of love, resurrecting love, in today's scripture from Acts. Paul and Silas are in the middle of doing what they believe is right. They have freed a young, enslaved girl from a spirit that had bound her and made her a spectacle for profit. But her liberation enraged her captors. And so Paul and Silas are seized, beaten, thrown into the darkest part of the prison, shackled, wounded, bloodied. And what do? They sing. In the midnight hour, at their lowest point, they worship. Not because they are naive, not because they are untouched by pain, but because they know something deeper. Love doesn't stay silent in the dark. It rises up. It resists. It sings. And then, just like at the tomb, God moves. The ground quakes, the doors fly open, the chains fall off. But the miracle isn't just in the earthquake. The real resurrection moment is when Paul calls out to the jailer, "Do not harm yourself. We are here." Think about that. They could have run. They could have escaped. But love kept them there. Love stayed. Love stayed for the one man ready to end his life. Love stayed because grief met grace in that prison cell. And something new was being born. A man who thought that his life was over was about to begin again. And how does the story end? The jailer washes the wounds of the prisoners and they share a meal. And the man who was once locking up others in chains now opens his home and heart to God. That's resurrection. That's love persevering. That's being in love with this world enough to stay, enough to sing, enough to feed and forgive. My friends, we are not optimists. We are Christians. We don't deny the grief. We carry it with us. But we also carry hope. The kind of hope that love will break chains. That kind of love that quiets swords and opens homes and writes hope in chalk across sidewalks. This is the work of love. To hold your child and to marvel at how fast they're growing. To watch dreams take shape in swirls of pink and yellow on the concrete. To zoom across driveways and find delight in simply being alive. This is the work of resurrection. To show up at the tomb even when you're afraid. To sing at midnight with broken skin and unshaking faith. To stay when you could have run. To feed others when you are hungry yourself. This is the gospel. This is the resurrection. This is love. So yes, I am in love with this Christ, this world, this life. A life where I am made free because of love. And you are too. Thanks be to God. Amen. We'll now turn to singing Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound. Number 422.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound.
Thank you. You may be seated. Let us be in a time of prayer. I invite us to lift up our joys and our concerns this day, and I will respond, God, in your mercy, and the congregation will then say, receive our prayer. And we want to keep Pastor Jacob in our prayers for his time of rest and renewal, and we want to lift up in our prayers those who are in prison, whether literal or figurative. We pray for those who feel trapped and desire freedom. God, in your mercy, receive our prayer. Please be with me in the spirit of prayer. God of resurrection and relentless love, thank you for the beauty in small moments, for scooter rides, sidewalk chalk, and the warmth of a child in our arms. Even in our grief, you show us that love perseveres. And in that perseverance, we rise again. Help us to resist the brokenness of this world with hearts that cling to hope, not because we are optimists, but because we are yours. Set us free from the prisons we carry inside, just as you freed Paul and Silas, and teach us to walk boldly into joy. Let your love continue to do its holy work, resurrecting, renewing, and reminding us that we are never alone. May we live as witnesses to this love in Christ today and always. We lift this prayer and the prayers and meditations of our hearts up to you as we say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you.
so many reasons to be afraid, and locked up, Paul and Silas. We might be drawn to lock up what we don't understand. But today's scripture reminds us that real love casts out all fear, unlocks the prison doors, and involves the flourishing of all people. Even in the midst of our fears, we are filled with the Holy Spirit and sent out. So let us unlock our hearts and unclench the fists, offering what we have in this moment as a symbol of our commitment to go out and be the presence of love in our world. Let us receive our offering today.
In the presence of fear, may these gifts bring hope. Where doors are locked, may these offerings open new possibilities. Where there are wounds, may these gifts honor their truth. In the presence of despair, may these offerings testify to a new world in your making. To this collective ministry, we dedicate ourselves and our offering. Amen. Where we have locked the doors to new awareness with defensiveness, Jesus, breathe peace. Unlock our understanding. Where we have closed off to others in fear, Jesus, breathe peace. Open our hearts. Where we have demanded proof of wounds in order to care, Jesus, breathe peace. Teach us compassion. Where we have insisted others owe us vulnerability to gain our solidarity, Jesus, breathe peace. Show us how to be trustworthy. Receive the good news, beloved ones of the Holy One. No locked door, no overwhelming fear, no guarded disbelief can keep out God's forgiveness and resurrecting love. We are set free to keep building up a new world. My Lord and my God, alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Hear now this benediction for today. Whatever binds you, whatever locks you up, whatever keeps you from the freedom to which you were created can be wiped clean. For we believe our stories can be rewritten each and every day. We know it isn't this easy or quick, but let this be a vision of your life resurrected. And now may you go into the world, unlocking freedom in all the ways you discover that you can, for yourself, for others, and for the world. And may the God who created you to be free, the Christ who showed you what freedom looks like, and the Spirit who is transforming your life even now, be with you now and forevermore. Amen.